Today's daf is Bava Basra Daf Samach Gimel. And we are 11 lines from the bottom of Daf Samach Beis Amid Beis, the two dots, Omar Rabba. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu B'nei Yisrael, Hanasunu Batzar Vashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schos for Fuah Shalema, for Rafal Avram Nisano Ben Masha Lipa. So we're moving along in the beginning of Perek HaMoicher Es HaBayis, dealing with the laws of somebody that sells a house, he sells a property, assuming that he didn't clarify, he wasn't super specific in terms of what should and shouldn't be included in the sale. So now we have to figure out what the stam of a person is, what would we assume he meant to include, and what would we assume that he meant to exclude. Either way, the daf begins with a memra that the Amora Rabba said, Omar Rabba, Rabba said, Palga de Isli Ba'ara, Palga. If somebody owned 50% of a property, and he then sold his chelik in the property, if the way he phrased the sale was, Palga de Isli Ba'ara, I'm selling to you half that I have in this property, what we assume is, Palga, that he sold his in entire half, and everything that he owns, meaning 50% of this land, is going to be sold. If, however, he would say, Palgo Ba'ara de Isli, I'm selling you half of the land that I have, Riva, we would assume that he's not selling 100% of his interest, which is 50% of the land, but rather what he's selling is 50% of his interest, which is really 25% of the land. So it's all in the language. Palga de Isli Ba'ara is Palga. Palga Ba'ara de Isli is Riva. So if you put de Isli before Ara, we assume you're selling everything that you own. If you put Ara before the Isli, then we assume you're only selling half of what you own. What's the difference? It's a bias question. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya told Rabbi, Maishnahachi. I'll be honest with you. I don't understand the chilek. I don't hear the nuance. If Palga de Isli Ba'ara is the full Palga, then Palga Ba'ara de Isli should also be the full Palga. So the Gemara says, Ishtik. When Rabbi heard the question, he didn't even bother responding. He was quiet. Amar Abayas, Abayas said, Anos Avri, I thought, mid the ishtik abuli kablo. I was under the impression that from the fact that Rabba was quiet, probably he agreed with my taina, and whatever svara that he initially had to be mechalik between Palga de Isli Ba'ara and Palga Ba'ara de Isli, when he heard that I didn't understand the difference, he came around. But the Gemara says, Valohi, Abaya says, I know for a fact that's not the case, because I saw there were many shtaris that emerged from the Bezdin of Mar. And when Abaya says Mar, he's referring to Rabba, the Kosebu Hochi, and it said the follows, Palga de Isli Ba'ara Palga, Palga Ba'ara de Isli River. So as much as I thought that I stumped Rabba, and that's the reason he was quiet when I asked him the question that I asked him, but at the same time, it's very clear to me that that's not the case, because even after my exchange, sort of, it was only Abaya talking with Rabba, it seems like Rabba didn't do anything differently, and that's a raya, said Abaya, that as much as I thought I had a good question, and Rabba didn't even answer the question, but it must be the reason he was quiet is because he wasn't being gairus my question. This wasn't a shtika kahida. Vaharaya, because Rabbi continued writing shtaris in the way that he had initially paskin. Now, in terms of what really is the nuance, Palga de Isli Ba'aras Palga versus Palga Ba'ara de Isli is Riva. Kamuvan, it's technical. I'm Rashbam, who throws out some svaris this way and that way. Regardless, we're going to go vaitav. Amar Rabba. Rabba said, similarly, Meitzer Ara de Mina Palga, Palga. Meitzer Ara de Mina Psika Tisha Kabad. So what does this mean? So the Rashbam says, we're talking about somebody that is selling part of his land to somebody else. So a person owns a field. He's going to sell part of his field to another person, but he's going to maintain the other part that he's not going to sell. Now, when he wrote the contract of this sale, so he set the mitzarim, he set the boundaries of this property that he was selling. So he said as follows, the way the Rashbam says it, to the west, to the Meirif side, Pliny is going to be your neighbor. To the Tzofen, Pliny is going to be your neighbor. To the Dorim, Pliny is going to be your neighbor. To the east, to the Mizrach, I'm going to be your neighbor. Because my piece of the land that I'm maintaining for myself is going to be Letzad Mizrach. Now, the way he worded it was that to the Mizrach, I am going to own land. Which land? The land from which I am selling to you right now. So it's a little convoluted, but really it's simple. Meaning, what he's saying is that although I'm selling you land, I'm not selling you all the land, and the remaining land is going to now be your neighbor, essentially, in the direction where I'm not selling my land. But the point is, what he said was, Meitzer ara de mina palga. The meitzer of your property, Letzad Mizrach, is going to be the initial property from which I sold to you palga. So if that's the language in the contract, then what we assume is palga, that he actually sold him half the land. So it's interesting. There was a sale over here of land, but we don't know how much land. Did he sell him a lot? Did he sell him a little? Like, what was the amount? So we're trying to find a clue in this contract. So we have a little bit of a clue. You know what the clue is? Because when this person wrote in the contract that he is going to be his neighbor, Letzad Mizrach, he described that land that he's maintaining for himself as the land from which he sold the palga. Oh, palga means a half, right? That's what the taicha palga is. And if that's the case, that's the clue that how much property did he sell, meaning the lekeach, how much did he purchase? He purchased a palga. If he would say, Meitzer ara de minopsiko, so that same exact contract, but instead of it saying that to the east, I'm your neighbor because I own the land, de mina, not palga, but de minopsiko, so then we assume that he didn't sell half of it, because he didn't use the word palga, he used the word psika. Psika means that it's a shir chashuv, but not necessarily 50% of all the land. Okay, so what would be the minimum shir chashuv when it comes to land? Tes kabin, that's what the shir is going to be. And the Rashbam says this is really based on a Mishnah that we saw in Perek HaShutfin, that the Mishnah says that if you want to know when a chatzar is considered to be big enough that there's a kidei chalukah, where if one of the partners want to force the other partner to make yachloiku, we can. If there's tisha kabin lozev, tisha kabin lozev, so that's the minimum shir chashev as it relates to a piece of land. It's for that reason, if he says psika, not palga, so it's kamuva, not going to be 50%, it's going to be the minimal shir chashev, which is going to be tes kabin. So this was Rabbi Zalocha. Meitzer ara de mina palga, the word palga means 50%. Meitzer ara de mina psika does not mean 50%, what it means is the minimum shir chashev, which is tes kabin. Abaya told Rabbi, Maishna hachi. He said, what's the difference? So the Gemara says, when Rabbi heard the question, ishtik, he was quiet. Now, the next part of the Gemara is going to be a little bit of a discussion, very brief. Everything is brief in these short dafin, but the Gemara is going to bring a little bit of a discussion as to what Abaya was thinking. What was his svara when he said, Maishna hachi u Maishna hachi? Meaning, Maishna hachi u Maishna hachi, and what? It should always be palga? It should always be teskabin? Maybe it should always be something else. What exactly is the Maishna Hachi or Maishna Hachi? So the Gemara says, Sovereign me, no, the Bnei Yeshiva that heard Abaya's question, and by the way, Rabbi's subsequent shtika, they all thought that the kashn over here was either be the palga. He was tiny that it should always be palga. Meaning, whether he said palga or whether he said psika, that locha should always be 50%. But the Gemara says, Valoihi, it's really not what Abaya meant. Amar Rav Yemer Bashlami. Yemer Bashlami said, Lididi Mifish Lomineh Dabai. I actually had this conversation with Abaya. We don't have to guess what Abaya was thinking, because I could tell you firsthand. I discussed this with Abaya, and I'll tell you what Abaya told me. Bein meitzer ara d'mino palgo. Bein meitzer ara d'mino psika. Abaya held that it doesn't matter if you use the word palgo or if you use the word psika, this is what that lacha should be. E amale ilain mitzarna palgo. If after all this was written in the shtar, there would be a general line that would say, the following are the boundaries of this property that I'm selling to you. Then the halacha would be that the loikeach would get palka. But if you wouldn't have that general header, you wouldn't have that general language, tisha kabin, then you would end up getting tisha kabin. So really, it's not so much palka upsika, which was a bias taina. You're making it rabba about it. You use the word palka, did you use the word psika? I don't hear that chilek. What then is it about? It's not the word, but rather, did you say some extra flowery language of ilei mitzarna, or did you not? If you said ilei mitzarna, then it's going to be palga. If you didn't say ilei mitzarna, then it's going to be teskaben. And really, the background to the svara of Abaye is a general rule in shtaris, and it repeats itself a few times here in these sugyas, and that is that anytime somebody's selling something and he adds language that he didn't have to add, the assumption is that the reason he added those language is to show that he's selling or giving Ba'ayin Yafa, and that he's giving more than you would have maybe otherwise thought. Even if there's no direct correlation between the definition and the translation of the words that he used and this additional something that we're suggesting maybe the acquirer is going to get. But the point is, the minute the noisen, the moicher, adds language, that to us is a simen that he's giving a little bit more than you would have thought. So over here, there's two options. Does he mean to give half, or does he mean to give teskaben? Obviously, it's in the interest of the loikeach to get half. So if he adds this flowery language, elein mitzarna, oh, you add this language, so that means you give me more. What's more? More is, it's going to be half. If, however, he didn't add that language, then it's going to be tisha kaben. Either way, that concludes the first part of today's daf. Sakti gemara vayt pshita. This is pasha. Amay yachlik ployni benichse. If somebody says that Ploini should be Yachloik Benichseis, so again, the words are very, very bediktok. You can't loosely translate these words, because the whole sugi is, what is the translation, the precise translation of these words? So if a person would say Yachloik Ploini Benichseis, the halach is Pauga, this person would be entitled to half. Now, what exactly is the context? So the Rashbam says it could be one of two things. Either we're talking about a Shchiv Mera, who's lying on his deathbed, and we know that Allah is divrei shchiv mera kichsuvin chimsurim dami, and he said that I want this person to get this, this person should get that, and yachloik ployni benechse. Or could be we're talking not about a shchiv mera, but rather we're talking about a regular bari who is gifting his nechasim. But regardless, if he says the word yachloik, yachloik is miloshin shnayim beichsim vitalis yachloiku, it's a loshin of half, and the recipient is going to take half of the nechasim. Tnu chelik leploini benichse mai. But what was not poshut is, what if the person would say not yachlik, but tnu chelik leploini? What does that mean? Meaning, are we going to assume that this person is supposed to get half, or are we going to assume that this person is supposed to only get a chelik? Now, what's the aside of the shiloh? So yachloik, we said, means half. Over here, he used the word chelik. Chelik is from the shayrish of yachloik, right? So if yachloik means half, maybe tenu chelik means give a half. But then again, he didn't say yachloik. So a kobina, and that was the question. So the Gemara says, Amar Ravina bar Kisi, Toshma, I'll bring you a raya, the Tanya, from the following braisma. Imra tenu chelik leploini bebar. If somebody says, give a chelik to Ploini from this bar. So there was a bar that had mayim in it, and somebody said, Tnu chelik leploini bebar, which is literally our shiloh. Tnu chelik leploini benichse mai, right? The nuance of the language is identical. Tnu chelik leploini bebar. Sumcha says, Ein pachas mirevia. The halach is that this person doesn't get less than a revia. Now, the way the Rashbam explains this, and there's a little wordiness here, is as follows. We have a suffix right now. When the person said tnu chelik leploini, did he mean to give him half? Or did he mean to give him just a little bit? Meaning, chelik miloshin yachloiku, so that the person's entitled to half? Or maybe chelik means that he's supposed to just get a little bit of a davar chashuv. So Sumche says that ein pachas mirvia, that the person doesn't get less than a revia. What that means, says the Rashbam, is that he's going to get a little bit more than a revia. Meaning, he doesn't get less than a revia. Sounds like maybe he gets a revia. But really, he's going to get a little bit more than a revia. And the methodology is as follows. Because we have a suffix now. Did he mean to give him half? Or did he mean to give him a little bit? So he's for sure entitled to a little bit. The question is he really entitled to half? Now, we don't know. Sumchis, we know, has a shita, you may have heard of this, that momen amutal besafik is chalkin. So sumchis shita is that when you have momen amutal besafik, what do? You say yachloiku. So we take all the momen that's mutal besafik, how much is that? It's the difference between half and the little bit that the person's for sure getting, right? More than a half is not mutal besafik because he's for sure not getting more than a half. A tiny bit is for sure not mutl besafik, because that he's for sure getting. What's mutl besafik? It's the difference between half and that little bit. Mamen mutl besafik is chaylkin. So what we're going to do is, we're going to give the person the little bit that he's supposed to get anyways, plus we're going to give him half of the difference between that and half, which is going to end up getting the person a little bit more than a revi'ah, right? Just to conceptualize it a little bit, if he was getting half of a half, he would get a revi'ah, but he's going to end up getting a little bit more than that, because we're not giving him 50% of half. We're giving him, let's say, off the top, 5%, and then we're taking the 45% and we're cutting that in half. So he's going to get 5 plus 22.5%, he's going to end up with 27.5%. But the point is, he's going to end up getting a little bit more than a revi'ah. Now, it's interesting, if you go through the Rashbam seems to contradict himself almost. What exactly is that little bit that he's for sure going to get? In the beginning of the sugya, the Rashbam says we give him a revius, right? That sounds like a guaranteed minimum amount when it comes to mashka. The Rashbam also says in the course of the sugya that Bezdin can figure out, and it's up to them, like a shuda de daini almost. Let them decide what you want to give. But the bottom line is, it's based on sumchis lishi tasa yamam and amutu besafik chalkim. Right? Usually when you think of sumchis lishita yamam and amutu besafik, hamachlif par v'chamar, shar shenaga chesapara, right? Right, there's some famous ones. This is clearly from the lesser famous ones. But regardless, this would be an application of Shita Sumchis, and based on the fact that you're for sure entitled to something, and Momen Amutu Besafik on everything that we're not sure whether you're supposed to get, you can end up getting not less than a revi'ah, which Rashbam says means really a little bit more than a revi'ah. L'chavis. What would be if the person said, Tnu Chelek L'ploini bibar, but he said l'chavis. So l'chavis means that the purpose of what it is he's giving is meant to be mashkiz behemoth. That's the tachlis of why he's giving it to him. So dir da loch is ein pachas mishminas. He's going to end up getting a little bit more than a shminas. And the reason over here he's going to end up getting a little bit more than a shminas is because if a person had a bar, and the Rashbam says the Chachamim just knew all these things because they knew it, but if a person had a bar, then the assumption is that the maximum amount of water from this bar that he was going to use for the chavis was going to be 50%. Which means that when the person says Tnu chelik l'ploini bibar l'chavis, the whole amount is 50%, which means that on the tzad that he means to give him half of that, he means to give him 25%. Now, we're not even sure if he means to give him half of that. He said tenu chelik, which is this ambiguous lashon. It's mashma a little bit, ashir chasha, but maybe also it's going to be a half. So now, really, the momen amut of a safik is, did he mean to give him the full half of the half, which is a quarter, or maybe only meant to give him a tiny bit? So what does he get? He gets half of what's the mamana multibasafik, which is the difference between the tiny bit and a quarter, which means that he's going to end up getting a little bit more than an eighth. Hence the halacha of ein pachas mishminas. L'kedera, what if the person would have said, tnu chelik l'ploini bebar l'kedera? So again, Chazal knew that the most that a person would use the k'teira is a third of the bar. So if the most that he would use is a third of the bar, that means that if he's giving him half of the third, how much is he giving him? A sixth. But it's mamana multi basafik. We don't know if he's giving him the full six. So how much is he entitled to? He's entitled to a 12th. Now, it's a little bit more than a 12th because there's a tiny bit that he's for sure getting, and that's why the halacha is ein pachas miyud beis. L'tofiach, what would be if he said the lashon of not l'chavis, not l'kter, but l'tofiach? L'tofiach means to drink. So there, the full amount that would ever be used l'tofiach is 1/4. If the full amount that would ever be used is 1/4, that means if he said, I'm giving you half, how much is he giving him? He's giving him an eighth. We don't even know if he said that. So we give him half of that, which is 1/16, albeit a little bit more, and that's why in Pachas Mishish Aser, it's going to end up being no less than 1/16. Either way, Zuck the Gemara Viter. Actually, before the Gemara Viter, Right, why do we bring this whole brisa with tzumchas? Because we had a shayla, right? Tnu chelik l'ploini b'nichsei mar. What's the halacha? How did the Gemara start? Pshita, I'm a yachlik ploini b'nichsei pali. It means to give him half. But what if he said, tnu chelik l'ploini b'nichsei? What's the halacha over there? So we have a tashma. What's the tashma? Shita tzumchas. That's the tashma. Tzumchas said, tnu chelik is mamon amutu b'safik. And if tzumchas said it's mamon amutu b'safik there, l'chura, so too over here, it's going to be mamon amutu b'safik. And we're going to view this the same exact way that we view Sumchas' halacha. Which, by the way, what was Sumchas' halacha? Now, this is a little bit of a discussion in the Rishonim for a few reasons. Number one, how do you shtel this suit to our case? And also, do we really paskin like Sumchas? Right? Sumchas, we know, holds Maman Abut of Asafik, but the Chachamim say, Zek Klal God of the Din, and Beit Simechaveri all of Araya. So take a look here in the Rishonim. But the point is that L'chura, at first glance, just daf yoimid gilarent, it sounds like what the Gemara would be saying is that you would view it the same way. When the person says, Tnu Chelik, so a little bit you're going to take off the top, what's a little bit of money? Probably a pruta, right? Or a shava pruta. So that's going to come off the top. And then the difference between the shava pruta and the half will be divided in the same exact way Sumchas viewed it when it came to the bar. Tan Rabbanan, Nacha Brais. Ben Levi, Shemach HaSadol Yisrael. A Ben Levi, also known as a Levi, that sold a field to a Yisrael. For Amalei, and he told him, I'm selling you my field, but I'm doing it on the condition that all the Maiserishin that you're going to have to give, which goes to the Levim, I want you to give to me. So the Allah is Maiserishin Shalai. If they shook hands on this, this was the agreement. It was Ketanai, B'nei Gadu, B'nei Ruvain, right? If this is the way this was executed, so the Halach is that the Meicher is going to keep the Maiserishin. Then Amar Li Uluvanai. What if he said that I want you to give me the Maiserishin, and if for whatever reason you can't give it to me, I want you to give it to my sons? So the halach is mace. Let's say the moicher dies, he has to give it to his sons. If he told him, what if he tells him that as long as the field is in your possession, meaning even if you sell it and then you buy it back, I still want these laws to be in effect, then the halach is not machra. If he sells it, and he buys it back, at that point, it's already game over. And the reason is because the Meicher and the Lekech can stipulate whatever they want. But once the Lekech sells it to somebody else, that other Lekech is not bound by it. And when the Lekech buys it back from that Lekech, and if the person that he sold it to wasn't bound by this condition, so then now when he buys it back from that person, he's not going to be bound by this as well. Either way, what we need in Yonenu is one line. The Gemara says, Amai. I don't understand the Ikra Halacha. Ben Levi, Shemach HaSod Eli Yisrael, V'omalei Amenashe, Maiserishin Shali, Maiserishin Shaloi. Liu Lubonai, even Yitain Lubonav. Faith the Gemara, I don't understand this. Ein Oda Makna Dova Shaloi Bala Oilam. What happened to Ein Oda Makna Dova Shaloi Bala Oilam? Meaning, it sounds like the Lekeach is Ki'ilu being Makna to the Moicher, the Maiserishin. It's not Ba'olam right now. So if it's not Ba'olam right now, how could you even transact something like this? L'chura, this transaction right now with regards to future Maiserishin should be dead on arrival based on the principle of Ein Oda Makna Dova Shaloi Bala Oilam. So the Gemara says, no, given the Amalei Amenashe, Maiserishin Shali, being that the Moicher told the Lekeach, I'm selling it to you on the condition that I keep the Maiserishin, sheyurei shayru l'makom Maiser. The way we view it in Lamdas is that the Meicher left over for himself a little bit of land. Which land? The land that's going to correspond to where the Maiserishin is going to be. Meaning, although technically he sold everything to him, but in order to make this transaction work, which is what they both want to do, we view it as if that part of the land wasn't actually sold. And if that part of the land wasn't actually sold, it's for that reason this transaction is going to work. So the Gemara says, Amar Reish Lakish, it's Oisai Meres. From what we just said, I can deduce a Chiddush. Now again, let's just meditate on the Chiddush for a second. Somebody went and he sold a field to somebody else. Sounds like the whole field was sold. But based on language that he used in the transaction, we're going to interpret the sale as if it wasn't 100% sold, as if it was almost 100% sold. But shiurei shairi l'makom maaser. That's not what happened. He sold him everything. But he also said, al menashe maaserishin shali. So those words of al menashe maaserishin shali, we want to give meaning to. And the only way we can give meaning to those words is if we say that as much as it looks like he sold everything, he really didn't sell everything. And Shiuri Shairi, there was something that he left over. So again, that's what's bothering Reish Lakish. He sold him everything. It wasn't Shiuri Shairi. Yeah, but he said, I'm an Ashamai Sarishin Shuli. And to make those words work, we're going to taichit ki'ilu he really didn't sell anything. So everything. So Reish Lakish said, if this is true, I can prove a halacha related to Hamoichas Habayis, which is why we're talking about this right now. So you say, Meres, Hamoichas Habayis, if somebody sells a field to his friend, a house to his friend, and he told him, I'm selling it to you, but on the condition that the roof belongs to me. So what's the halacha? If somebody sells a house, is the roof included or is it not included? So it was the first Mishnah in the Perek. It depends. If there's a Maika that's Gevaya Asar Tvachin, then it's not included. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if it has a Tzuras HaPesach, it's not included. But we know there are times that it's not included. We're talking about where this person was Meshayer for himself, a Diyutel Yoyna, a roof that anyways wasn't going to be included. So the halach is, if he said Mefurish, that I'm selling it to you on the condition that the Diyutel Yoyna Shali, so the halach is Diyutel Yoyna Shalai, he keeps it. Says the Gemara Lamayil. So what does this negeya mean? It's negeya that the Dutel Yoin is not included. The Gag that has a Maika Gevaya Asar Tvachim, it's anyways not included. So obviously, when we say Amanasha Dutel Yoin Shali is Marba something, it's something that we wouldn't otherwise have known. So what is that something? So the Gemara says it was a Machlokes Amiram. Rav Zvid said Shemrotzo Lohitzi Bazizin Moitzi, that where this is negeya is that if the person wants to take Zizin of the end of Cheskas Abatim fame, and he wants these boards, these koyrois, to protrude into the ear space of the chotzer, of the house that he just sold, so the halach is this is something he'd be allowed to do. So ordinarily, if I own a gag and you own a chotzer, I can't have zizin coming out of my gag into your chotzer. But being that the person said, al menashe d'yutel yoyne shali, which he didn't have to say, so the actual language was coming to the rabbis. Not only do I own the roof anyways, but if I want to be moitzi zizin, this is something I'm going to be allowed to do. Meaning, the extra lashon is saying that as much as I sold the chatzah to you, this is going to be the punchline, but I didn't sell the whole chatzah to you. I maintain certain ear rights in the chatzah, and if I want to be moitzi zizin, I can, and you can't stop me under the premise that you're the one that owns the chatzah. Rapapa said it means something else. What it means is that let's say the roof will come down. Could you rebuild it or could you not rebuild it? Had you not added this extra language, even though you would have maintained the roof, but only as long as it's there. If it would fall down, you wouldn't be able to rebuild it. Here the chiddush is that even if it comes down, if you want to rebuild it, this is something that you're allowed to do. But either way, said Reish Lakish Gishmak, that from this b'raiso, Ben Levi Shemach HaSadu Liyisrov, Omalei Amanashe Maiserishin Shalei Maiserishin Shalei. Why? Because we say that Shiyure Shairi Lamaka Meiser, it's from here that I can prove the following halacha, that I'm Moicher Bayis L'Chaveroi, the Omar, Loi Amenashe Dutel Yoyne Shali, Dutel Yoyne Shali. Now what's the Shaiches, right? What's the connection between these two halachas? So the way the Gemara is going to explain it in a second is, it's in Rav Zvid's understanding of this halacha. Rav Zvid said, what does it mean that if he says, Amanasha Dutel Yoyne Shali, Dutel Yoyne Shali, it means that he maintained some of the rights to the chatzar. Now you sold the whole chatzar, right? You sold the bias and the chatzar. So why should you maintain rights to the chatzar? Oh, the teretz is because you added language. And that language has to be meaningful. How are you going to give meaning to the language? Oh, if you say, Shiyure Shire, but you didn't say Shiyure Shire. Oh, but I know that from the Ben Levi that said that I want the Maiserishin, which really you can't do because Einah Demakta Dava Shloi Baloilam, unless you say Shiyure Shire. So what do? We interpret it as if you said Shiyure Shire. Oh, so you say Meres, that even though it looks like you gave everything away, you sold the whole field, but because you said Almanasha Maiserishin Shali, we interpret it as if you didn't sell the whole field. It looks like here you sold the whole bias, you sold the whole chatzah. But being that you said Almanasha Duta Eliyana Shali, we look at it as if you said Duta Eliyana Shali, as if you were Meshire a little bit for yourself, and that's why this is going to work. But the Gemara says that all makes sense. Meaning, the way we just explained it is Gevaldig in Rav Zvid. How did Rav Papa understand it? Rav Papa said that what it means is Shemrat Zalivnei Sali Al Gaba Boina. Now, according to the way Rav Papa understands it, is there any shaychis between this halacha and Ben Levi Shemach HaSad Al Yisrael? No, because the way Rav Papa understands, Amanasha Dutel Yoyne Shali, Dutel Yoyne Shali, means if it falls down, you can build it back up. Not that you mishayer a little bit in the chatzar that you sold, but it just means that you don't only own it Basher Rosham. If something happens to it and you want to rebuild it, you'd be able to rebuild it. And if that's the case, really these two halachas have nothing to do with each other. Not just that. The way Rav Papa understands it, the halach is not even such a big chiddush. And the reason it's not such a big chiddush is because What is the halacha? You said, Amanasha Duta Elyona Shali. You anyways have to Duta Elyona. So why do you say it? Oh, obviously you're coming to be marba something. That's not a chiddush. Anytime you say something you didn't have to say, you're coming to be marba something. Right, we saw that right in the beginning of the daf. If you say Elain Mitzra No, which you didn't have to say, it means Palga, doesn't mean Tisha Kav. Because the minute you say something that really you didn't have to say, so that's a raya that you're coming to add something. So really, Rav Zvid's understanding of it is a very big chiddush. Because I sold it to you, and now you're telling me I didn't really sell 100% of it. For that you would need a Zoysei Meres, and for that we have a Zoysei Meres. But the way Rav Papa understands it, I mean, the halacha seems to be a very simple halacha. You shouldn't have to need any raya, and now you should not have to need a raya. L'chayr, we shouldn't really have a raya from our sugi, which is the Gemara's next kasha. So Bishlam the Rav Zvid, Bishlam according to Rav Zvid, Hainu Diktani Zoysei Meres. I understand the Zoysei Meres, right? The Cheshbin is the way we just explained. El Rav Papa my Zoysei Meres. What's the shaykhis between the Ben Levi and this case, and the way the Rashbam adds, I don't even need any Zoysei Meres. It's so posh at this halacha, because we know that anytime you add language, it's coming to Rabbi something, and the Gemara says kasha, which means it's a teretz, but at the same time, it's definitely a ha'arat. Zok the Gemara Vayta. Amar Avdimi min Nahardo. Hayman the Masbalei Beis Alechav. If somebody sells a house to this friend, Avagav the Kosav Le Umkav Ruma, even though he wrote in the contract that I'm selling you this house and I'm selling you the Umkin the Ruma from the depths of the house to the heights of the house, I'm selling you the ganze thing. Tzorich Le Michtav Le Koni Loch Metoim Ara the Ad Roim Rukia. But at the same time, if you want that the boyer and the dus should be included in the sale, you would have to add additional language. It's not enough that you sold the house. It's not enough that you said, I'm selling you the umkavaruma. You would have to say, I'm selling it to you from the tahoim ara ad rum rukia. That extra language would be marba, the boyer and the dus. So again, Rav Dimi min Arda was addressing, if somebody sells a house, the boyer and the dus, included or not included. So we saw a little bit about the boyer and the dus on the first daf of the perek. Really, the makar to this is a Mishnah that we're going to learn in tomorrow's daf. But a bar is a pit, a dus is another type of pit. There was water inside of it. Sometimes it was in the house, sometimes it was in the field. We're talking about someone that's meicher a bayis where it's in the house. And the question is it included or not included? So says Rav Dimi min Harda that it's not included. And even if you write umkavaruma, it's still not included. If you say, however, I'm selling it to you mitahoimer ara va'ad rum rukia, then it's going to be included. My time, what's the reason for this? The umkavaruma bestamalei kani. So he said as follows. Because when a person sells a house, the umke and the ruma min hastam, unless otherwise stated explicitly, is not going to be included. So what is even the umke and the ruma? So the umke means the ground. Rashbam says if you want to dig in the ground, the ruma is the ear rights. So min hastam, we assume the umke and the ruma are not included. And if that's the case, ahani umke veruma, lemikni umke veruma. So if you had language that says that I'm selling you the house, including the umke veruma, why do you add that language to tell me that you're getting the umke veruma? How do I know you're allowed to dig? You want to make a basement. You're allowed to make a basement? Mechtesi, you can do it. Oh, if you said umkavaruma. So now we know you're allowed to do that. Now, if that's the case, that I need umkavaruma to tell me that you get the umkavaruma. So I can't use the extra language of umkavaruma to tell me that you get the boyer and the dos, because it's not extra. No, if I say toim rabba vadrum rukia, then already it's different. So vahani mitoim aravadrum rukia, the mikrim bar vados umechilis, by the way, to get the bar vados and any tunnels that go underneath. But the bottom line is, said Rav Dimi min Hardot, that if somebody sells a house, even if he says, I'm selling you the umke veruma, you're still not going to get the bar vados. You want to get the bar vados, you have to say, I'm selling to you mitoim aravadrum rukia. Why? You said umke veruma. No, I need umke veruma to teach me that you get the umke veruma. Shouldn't you min astam get the umkavaruma? That's Rav Dimi min Arda's chiddush. Then, min astam you don't get the umkavaruma. Thus, if you said I'm giving you the umkavaruma, that's marba that you do get the umkavaruma. So then, why did you say toim rabba va'ad roim rakia? Oh, that already is to tell me the bar vados. But unless you say toim rabba va'ad roim rakia, you're not going to get the bar vados. Now, just to clarify one thing, we spoke this out in the beginning of the parak, and it's the topic of tomorrow's daf. But it's just kedai to speak it out now again. And that is, what's the difference between the bar vados and let's say digging, right? If you are entitled to dig when you say umkavaruma, so why shouldn't you be entitled to the bar vados? Why do you have to say metoim arav vad roim rakia? So the difference is because the umkavaruma, meaning when you dig in a house, assuming that you're going to use that ditch for regular living purposes. So it's chada tashmishta with the house itself. And as a result, we view it as being more a part of the house. The bar vidus, the reason they were viewed differently in all these contracts is because the purpose of the bar vidus is not the same as the purpose of the bais. It's a different inyan. It's a different asset class. So because it's different, so it's for that reason, minastam, we don't assume that it's going to be included. So again, if somebody sells a bais stam, this is Rav Dimi Minar Daz Alacha, you get the house. You want to dig? No, you can't dig. You want a bar vidus? No way. That's a whole different inyan. It's like saying, I bought the house, so I get the car that's parked in the driveway of the house. No, it's no shaykhis. That's already a whole different inyan. You want that? You're going to have to buy that, right? That would be a separate sale. If you add language and you say, I'm selling to you not just the house, but I'm going to give you the varuma, so that gives me rights to dig, that gives me rights to build on top. Now I taka own, as long as it's for the purpose of the house, the entire house. Literally, the umka of the house, all the way up to the ruma of the house. But the bar vidus, that's the car parked in the driveway. That's a separate asset class. That's something that I'm still not going to get. If I add additional language, I say I'm selling it to mitahim arif ad rum rukiya, that already is coming to be marba. Something at this point, what's coming to be marba? It's coming to be marba bar vidus. So the Gemara says, Levi Misayeli. At first glance, it would seem to be mamisha mafurisha mishnah, everything that Rav Dimi Minar Daz just said. And the mishnah is the mishnah we're going to see tomorrow. The mishnah says, Valeyas habar, Valeyas hadus. If somebody sells a bias, so the bar and the dos are not included in the bias, even if he said umkavaruma. So he said umkavaruma, you still don't get the bar with us. Now, if you're going to tell me that means stam, you get the umkavaruma, lahani umkavaruma, the mikni bar vidus, mechilois, then when you add the language of umkavaruma, shouldn't you then get the bar vidus and the mechilois? And from the fact that the Mishnah says that if you say umkavruma, you still don't get the bar vidus, must be, it's because you need umkavruma to say that you get the umkavruma. Thus, it's not extra to tell me that you get the bar vidus, which was Rav Dimi Minar Daz Alacha. So isn't the Mishnah mefurish what Rav Dimi Minar Daz said? So the Gemara says, no. It could be the Mishnah that says, lo yasabar v'lo yasados, is talking about the loikas of lei, where you didn't say umkavruma. And that's why you don't get the bar vidus. But enachinami, if you would say umkavaruma, you would get the bar vidus, because minastam, you're anyways getting the umkavaruma, so the words umkavaruma are actually rabbis, that you're going to get the bar vidus. But the Gemara says, how could you say that? It's not what the Mishnah says. V'afa pisha kasav leiktani. The Mishnah says, mefurish, loyas habar v'loyas hados, afa pisha kasav leumkavaruma. So the Gemara says, no, the way you have to read the Mishnah is as follows. Hachi kamar, afa pisha loy kasav loy. Even if you didn't say umkavaruma, it's kemisha kasav domi. It says, if you said umkavaruma, lemikni umkavaruma, as it relates to getting the umkavaruma. So, loyas habar v'loyas hados, and afal pi shaloy kasav loy, even if you didn't, right, this is the chasurei mechsera, still, it says, if you did, as it relates to the umkavaruma, abal lemikni bar vidus, but as it relates to the bar vidus, ikasav le umkavaruma, kani, if you said umkavaruma, then you're going to get it, v'iloy kasav, and if you did not, loy kani, you're not going to get it. It's a little bit of an edit on the Mishnah, but the bottom line is, yeah, I mean, the way we had the Mishnah, it certainly sounds like the Mishnah says, Loyas above Loyas Ados, Afa Pisha Kasav Lei Umkavaruma, but the Gemara says, no, Hachi Kamar, that's really not what it's saying. What it's saying is, Afa Pisha Lei Kasav Lei, Kemisha Kasav Dami, Lemikna Umkavaruma, and Lemikni Bar Bedosu Mechilais, E Kasav Lei Umkavaruma, Kani, E Loy Kasav. Loy Kani, the bottom line is, we are going to stop here, pick up this note from the last Machzer, right after we upload this year, and just to end, however, today's daf, one very short ha'ara, and that is, so today's daf began with a comment that Rabbah made, Amar Rabbah, Palga de Isli Ba'ara, Palga, Palga Ba'ara de Isli, Riva, very, very nuanced in terms of what the distinction is. Ad kedei kach, Amrei Abaya, Abaya told Rabbah, Maish Nahachi, Maish Nahachi, and the Gemara said Rabbah was quiet, Ishtik. Amr Abaya said, I'm not savvy. I thought, mid the ishtik, from the fact that Rabbah was quiet, Kabuli Kibla probably accepted my argument. But the Gemara says, Velohi, I chapped afterwards that he didn't, because I saw Shtaris coming, emerging and emanating from the court of Rabbah, and clearly he was continuing to write those Shtaris in accordance with his psak. And it's obvious then that he didn't take my ha'ara very seriously. I was quiet. kasha famaisa. But the bottom line is that shtika was clearly not kehoida. It's interesting. This Gemara was the second time on Daf Samech Beis that we had this idea where an Amora said a halacha, the Olam asked, Kenira good, and Shasek. Yet in the two Gemaras, the understanding of the Shtika was differently. What was the first time? It was on Amud Aleph. The Gemara said that Rav had said a halacha, and the Amoraim, Amalei Rav Kahana, Rav Asil, Rav, V'yikne Keneged Rosh Tor, right, one of those pictures that the Rashbam brings on Samech Beis Amud Aleph, and the Gemara said, Shasik Rav, that when Rav heard the Kasha, the Rav Kahani, Rav Asi asked him, so Rav was quiet. He was quiet. If you look at the Rashbam, the Rashbam says, what does it mean, Shasif Grav? It's Dibra Maschel Umayda Rav, that he was Maida. Meaning, when Rav heard the questions that were asked to him, he was Maida. He came around. So Tosfos brings the Rashbam on Samech Beis Amud Aleph, and Tosfos says that it seems a little bit from this Gemara, that if an Amora says something, and then another Amora asks him a question, and the Amora who made the comment is quiet, Shtika Koida. The way the Rashbam tied Shosik Rav right here in Bava Basra Daf Samech Beis Amud Aleph. Freik Tosfos have a stira from another Gemara. You know what the Gemara is? Turn the page. Later on, the same Daf, says Tosfos, you have a Gemara where the Rabbi said a halacha, Abai asked him a kasha, Rabbi was quiet, and you see the shtika wasn't koida. So Freik Tosfos, why is it that when it was Shosik Rav, we assumed that Rav was moida? That's the way the Rashbam learns the sugya. Yeah, when it was Ishtik Rabbi, it's clear from the Gemara that it was not a shtika koida. So how do you know when the shtika is koida, and how do you know when the shtika is not koida? So Tosfos says that you have to say that it depends on who's asking the question. On Samech Beis Amud Aleph, who asked Rav the question? It was Rav Kahana and Rav Asi. So Rav Kahana and Rav Asi were both Talmidim of Rav, but at the same time, they were Talmidei Chaver. So they were Talmidim, but somewhat on the level of the Rebbe. So if a Talmud Chaver asks a question to his Rebbe, and the Rebbe's quiet, then why was he quiet? Must be because he's Maida, and that shtik is going to be a shtika koida. However, sometimes a Talmud could ask a Rebbe a question where the Talmud's bechlal not on the level of the Rebbe, so the shtika of the Rebbe is not necessarily considered to be a shtika koida. Why then was he quiet? I don't know, he wasn't being Geiris Dekasha. Like, chosh laheshev. He didn't feel like this was something that he even had to get involved with. When Abaye asked Rab a question on Amud Beis, that was a regular Talmud-Rebbe relationship. Abaye was not a Talmud chaver of Rab, which in and of itself is interesting. But Abaye, with all his greatness, Klapi Rab, was not considered a Talmud chaver. And as a result, when Abaye asked his kasha to Rab, Rabba's shtika is not necessarily considered kohida, and the reason it's not necessarily considered kohida is because maybe the reason he's being quiet is because he just doesn't feel like he has to answer. But either way, what emerges from this Tosfos here on Daf Samech Beis Amud Aleph, that when an Amora is asked a kasha, and then the Amora is quiet, so you can define it as a shosik rav, here in Bava Basra Samech Beis Amud Aleph, which means shtika koida. By the way, the raid from yesterday's daf notwithstanding, but the point is, shosik rav as in a shtika koida, I'll be nigla anyways, whereas sometimes if the Amir is quiet, fakert, could be he was quiet because he just wasn't being gairus takasha. He didn't even feel that he had an answer, and the shtika in it of itself is not necessarily a raya that he's maida, and you have Ishtik Rabbi here on Samech Beis Amud Beis. In one daf, on Amud Aleph and on Amud Beis, you see these two different ways that you can view the shtika of a chacham. So I'll tell you something interesting. Rav Reuven Margolis, in his Sefer Mechkarim Bedarkei HaTalmud B'Chidoisov, Mechkar Yutes is called Shtika L'Chachamim. That's the name of the Mechkar. And he has pages, Kedarkei B'Kodesh, where he talks about different Gemaras, where you find that the Chachamim sometimes were asked a good question, and they didn't respond. They didn't say, I'm asking. They didn't take the person's head off. But they were just quiet. And he wrote a whole mechkar to try to understand the idea of shtika. Now, Toich Dvarev, in one of the footnotes, he quotes this Tosfos here in Bava Basra Daf Samech Beis Amud Aleph. But Derech Agav, if you go through it properly, Mitchil Vatsoif, you'll see there's a lot of Gemaras that we learned recently that he throws into his thesis. But the bottom line is, Rav Reuven Margolis is very meirch on this inyan of shtika of the Chachamim. And there's one question that seemed to have bothered him, and that is, let's assume shtikis koida, which is what it usually is. So if you have someone that said a vart, and then one of the Talmidim asked the kasha. So Rav said the halacha, and Rav Kana and Rav Asi, they fragged them up. So what was Rav's reaction? Shasik Rav. Rav was quiet. If he really meant to be moida, so why wasn't he moida? Why was he being quiet? I hear shtika koida and ochinami. But you see, shtikas sometimes could be interpreted differently, right? So really, shtika is quite ambiguous. And if that's the case, so why wouldn't he be moida? And the Chachamim we know had no problem to be moida. Hoida v'loi bush, loy meloi shamati. Right? The Gilyan Ashas in the end of the third parak of Mesechtes Brachis. On that Rashi, all the places that Rashi says that loy yodati v'advar matikin. But the bottom line is that you have this idea that the Chachamim certainly were not embarrassed. So why the shtika? So he says, kedarke b'kodesh, that really, it could be sometimes the reason the Chachamim was shoysik was for another reason. And that is that any time you find a Tana or an Amor that said over a halacha, it's possible that the halacha that the Tana the Amor was saying was his own halacha. It's also possible that the halacha that the Tana the Amor was saying was a halacha that he had mipia kabal. He was mekabal from his Rebbe, it could be who was mekabal from his Rebbe, and azoy weiter. The nafkamina is, if an Amora, a Tana, says something, and it's based on a drasha, it's based on a svara, it's based on one of the Yudgam Umidah Shatarin Adrashas Behem, whatever. And now, all of a sudden, someone comes, a Talmud, he asks a good kasha. So if it's his own chiddush, so based on the kasha, he could be chayzer. If, however, it's not his own chiddush, and this is something that really he had mipia kabbalah, something he has been messiah, then even if the kasha itself is a good kasha, it doesn't necessarily give him a right to be chayzer, because he has this been messiah. What do you want me to tell you? I was mekabel this, and if I was mekabel this, then this must be the way it is. Are you asking a good kasha? Al zeh ne'emar, I hear. But at the same time, it's not enough for me to be able to be chayzer from my halacha, because at the same time, I'm telling you, this is halacha that I have al pi ha-Messiah. So he says, every time a Tana Amora says something, you don't know if this is something that he's saying by himself, or maybe this is something that he had al pi ha-Messiah. One beautiful Gemara, just that brings out this point, is a Gemara in Mesechtes Nazar. It starts on Lamed Ches Amud Beis, and it goes to Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says that Abaye had said something, and Rapapa was asking Akasha. And Rapapa asked Akasha from a Braisa. And what emerged at the end is that this Braisa that Rapapa was asking from never happened. He made up a word in a Braisa to ask Akasha. And the Gemara is like very taken aback by that. Like, why would Rapapa do that, right? I mean, that doesn't sound like such a nice way to play. So you're making up a braisa, or you're adding a word to a braisa that all of a sudden is going to be azat yufta. Why would you do that? So the Gemara says, Amar Rapapa. Rapapa said, I'm not savri. I thought, lav gemara hi biyade v'hadarbe. I was trying to figure out, this halacha that he had said, was this halacha that he knew on his own? Or was this halacha that he had been meseira? So I said, you know, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to make up a braisa. I'm going to ask him from this braisa, and I'm going to see, does he back off or does he not back off? If this is a halacha that he was mechadish, he's going to have no choice. He's going to have to back off from the braisa that I'm going to ask him from. If, however, this is something that he has been mesoira, he's not even going to be nispo from the braisa. You know what he's going to say? I hear. What do you want me to tell you? It's a good kasha. But at the same time, he's not going to budge. So says the Gemara, Aloshina Gemara, Amra Papa, Nosavri Lav Gemara Hibiyode, that this was not something he had been Messiah, this is something he had been Messiah, and being that this is something he had been Messiah, so this is not something that he would be able to be Chayzer from, even if he wanted to be Chayzer from. Another Marumakim that he's Mitzayan. Again, this is classic Rabbu from Margolis, how it opens up all these different Chidos that you find in different Gemaras. So this is a Gemara Mesechtes Bava Kamel in Arbavis Nezikin. The first parak, right? Tafyud Aleph Amabe. So the Gemara over there was discussing that Ula said in the name of Rabbi Laza. Just one excerpt of the Gemara. The sugi is Avadim. Are they treated like metaltalin or are they treated like karka? So Va'omar Ula, Omar Rabbi Laza. Ula said in the name of Rabbi Laza, Hilchasa Goivim Mino Avadim. The halacha is that a Baal Chayv, a Malva, could be Goyve his loan, even from Avadim. Amalei Rav Nachman Ulos. Rav Nachman told Ula, Amar Rav Elazar, Afilu Meyasmi. Tell me, when Rav Elazar said this, right? You, Ula, you're quoting Rav Elazar. Did Rav Elazar say that you could be Goyve from the Avadim, even from Yesoimim? What does that mean, even from Yisoyim? So we know that a Baal Chayv that's Goyver from Yisoyim can only be Goyver Karaka. It can't be Goyver Metalton. So you want to know, Hilchas a Goyver and Avodim means, even from Yisoyim, because really Rabbi Lazar's Chiddush was that an Eved is treated like Karaka. So he told them back, no, look. No, that's not what he meant. He meant that you could be Chayzer from him. So the Gemara says that Labasa the Nafak, I'm skipping about 10 lines, after Rav Nachman left the room, Ula turns to everybody and he says, you know, I wasn't honest with Rav Nachman. I told Rav Nachman that Rav Elazar said he can't be Goyver from the Yisoyimim because really it's only Metaltlin. And he says, no, Hachi Yom Rav Elazar said, Afilu Miyasmi, that the emes is, you can be Goyver even from the Yisoyimim. Meaning he told him that I just didn't want to get involved in this whole situation because I just didn't want Rav Nachman to know the truth. But really that's what it was. So the Gemara says, Amr Rav Nachman heard, meaning word got to Rav Nachman, Chavra Islay, V'chavra D'chavra Chavra Islay. So Rav Nachman said, Ishtamten Ula. You see, Ula figured out a way to avoid this conversation. What does it mean, Ishtamten Ula? So if you look at Rashi says, Nishmat Mimeni. He somehow got away from me, the Yorei, and he was afraid because he knew, Shema Akapchenu Balachas U'Bekushis. He knew I was just going to frag him up, I was going to ask a whole bunch of good kashas. Frank Margolis, what's going on here? Ula says over Allah in the name of Rabbi Lazar that what? That a Baal Chayv could be Goyva even from Avadim. Rav Nachman was there. He says, tell me, even Yisoyimim? He says, nah, not Yisoyimim. The minute Rav Nachman walked out, he says, nah, Rabbi Lazar said, even Yisoyimim. Rav Nachman said, he was afraid of me because he knew if he would have told the truth in my presence, I would have fragged him up. I mean, Ula, you're not being intellectually honest. If that's what Rabbi Lazar said, and you think Rav Nachman's going to be able to ask you good questions, so you have to face the music. I don't understand. What do you mean? You're running away. You're going to make sure you're going to paskin the halacha, not in the presence of Rav Nachman, because you know Rav Nachman's going to be able to frag you up. What does this even mean? So, Rav Margolis, I'll tell you what it means. Because Ula wasn't saying his own halacha. Ula was saying over what Rabbi Lazar said. So, you're going to ask me kashas? What do you want from my life? Go ask Rabbi Lazar, right? And don't kill the middleman. This is not my chiddush, this is Rabbi Lazar's chiddush. So he knew Rabbi Nachman was just going to ask him kashas. He's not going to have the answer. It's going to have no bearing on the halacha. Because regardless of how good those kashas are, at the end of the day, Hachi Yom Rabbi Lazar, and he can't budge from what it is that Rabbi Lazar said. In other words, you find this idea sometimes that somebody would say a halacha, and he would say over this halacha, really in the name of somebody else. And not always, when you said the halacha in the name of someone else, did you necessarily say who you were saying it over from? And if that's the case, you could ask me all the kashas in the world. This is not something I'm going to budge from. By the way, he says, if you want a perfect raya to this idea that sometimes a Tana Amir would say something, and what he's saying really he has been Mesoira. This is not his own chiddush, right? Because really, Kana Ben Shoyal. You're telling me that if Omer Abaya means what Abaya was Makabal from his Rebbe, then why didn't he say it in the name of his Rebbe? What about all the Kolo Imer Dovah B'Shem Omer Reid and Sufsais of Dovah's Bekever Reid, right? What about that? But there's clear rayas that wasn't always the case. And a beautiful raya that he brings is from Rebbe Eliezer. We know Rebbe Eliezer said, Me'olam lo yamarti dova shalo shamati me'raboisei. Yet throughout Shas, it's Rebbe Eliezer Omer. It's Omer Rebbe Eliezer. So how come it's Rebbe Eliezer Omer if really, Me'olam lo yamarti dova shalo shamati me'raboisei? The Teretz says sometimes things were said stam that they had be Kabbalah, they had be Masoir. Now why they're not being Omer Dova B'Shem Omer is a good aura. But the bottom line is, it must be that's the case, right? Because you see it clearly for Rabbi Eliezer. He brings many other ayahs as well. But here's the point. The point is, there was some halachas that was said, this is my chiddush. And if you ask me a good kasha, good. So you fragged up the kasha. Then there were certain halachas that they're not my chiddush. This is something I have in Kabbalah, something I have in Mesoira. So you could ask me all the kashas in the world. It's not going to change anything. Nothing is going to happen. Because at the end of the day, the halacha is the halacha. You know, one of the examples that he gives, just as a mashal to this, is the Gemara says in Erev and Daf Yudalot, Amid Aleph. How do you know that anything that's a roichav tefach, if you have a line that's one tefach, so yesh behekefa gimel tefachim, what we know is the rule of pi. Right, the Gemara learns it out from a pasuk, it's learned out from the Yamshel Shleima, the literal Yamshel Shleima. Erev in Yodalot Amid Aleph. So he says, let's say somebody would ask a kash on that drasha. Somebody would come and he would say, you're learning from the Yamshel Shleima pi, I have a aura on your drasha. Would it change the rule of pi? Chayra wouldn't change the rule of pi, is what Ruv Margolis says. Because that's science. That's a metzias. The drusha, I hear, maybe this drusha, we have a toss in. And obviously, this kroyaseir, or whatever the drusha exactly is, you can frag up. But it doesn't change the fact. When Chazal said over a halacha that they had the Kabbalah, that they had the Mesoira, that means that that halacha is what it is. And if you have a ha'ara now on the drusha that's being said over, I hear, but you have to take it up with the Free of the Gedoris, which is something that we have the Kabbalah, and if that's the way it is, it's no different than the rule of pi, and that's not something that you're going to be able to frag up. But either way, so his theory is that it could be the reason sometimes the Chachamim were quiet was taka because they were moida. But so if they were moida, then why didn't they say, yeah, you're 100% good, and let me mekos what it is I said. He said the reason is because they couldn't. Because this halacha was not halacha that they were balabas on. Because this was halacha that they had in Messiah. So Erechanami, if I'm saying a halacha, and basing it on something, and you come and you frag it up, shtika koida with me, and yeah, I'm asking, you're 100% right, I'm out. But sometimes the shtika was koida, but at the same time, not koida to the level where if you wanted to be chayza, you'd be able to be chayza. That's not something that you would be able to do. And the reason is because the Amira, the Tana that was saying over this halacha, wasn't balabas on the halacha. So the way you viewed his shtika is, I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, I'm not going to change my position. The reason I'm not going to change my position is because this is a position that I have in Messiah, and because it's something that I have in Messiah, even if I wanted to be chayza, I wouldn't be able to be chayza. So in the world of shtika, right, you find so many gemaras where someone asks somebody a kasha, and then the person is shayza. So you have the Shasik Rav where Shtik is Koida, Chayzer, 100%. And then you have the Ishtik Rav where he just seems to not be Nispal, right? He's not really hearing what he has to say. He continues and he goes weiter. There's this idea that sometimes the gather of the Shtika was where I hear what you're saying, and from that standpoint, it's a Shtika Koida, but at the same time, I'm not going to be chayzer, and I'm not going to say that because of your kasha to biskerecht, because really this halacha was never contingent and it was never hinging upon any raya, any makar, any svara. This is something that we have in Kabbalah, it's something that we have in Mesoira, and even if you have a good kasha, it doesn't change the outcome, it doesn't change the halacha, and that would be a ponim chadoshes in terms of understanding how a shtika would work. And it's for that reason sometimes the reaction was just to be quiet without any hoidah, because the shtika is kohidah klapi the taina. That's the point. But it's not kohidah klapi the halacha. And because it's not kohidah klapi the halacha, that's why as it relates to the halacha, you don't say that. Now, kedarkoi, this mechkar is many, many pages long. And if you go through that whole arichas, see, every Gemara kamat, where the Gemara has a whole elaborate story with a shtika, and he thought the shtika was this, he thought the shtika was that. He explains, you know, the way he always explains it. One of the things that he mentioned, I'll just mention a half a makar, and that is, he says, there's a Gemara, Masechtas Brachos, Daf Tez Zayin Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says there was an exchange. It's regarding Kavan and Kriyashma. Rami Le, Rav Mori Brode Bashmul L'Rava. Rav Mori Brode Bashmul asked Rav Akasha, and the Gemara says, Ishtik. When Rava heard the kash, he was quiet. Amalei, so he followed up. He said, "Midi shmi olach b'ha? Tell me, you have nothing to say?" Amalei, he told him, "Hachi am Rav Sheshes." No, truth is, Rav Sheshes did say something. Meaning, I was quiet, but Rav Sheshes taka said something. So he says like this. You find this signun, where an Amora asks an Amora kasha, the Amora is quiet. He says, "Tell me, you have nothing to say? You don't have an aura? All I'm getting is an I hear. You have nothing to say?" And afterwards, he told him, "No, you're right. Hachi am Rav Sheshes." So you have it here in Brachas Tezayin Amad Aleph. He says, you find it in Shabbos Tapeh, Psachim Lamed Dalet, Ksubis Lamed Zayin, Bava Kamatzad Gimel, Bava Mitzian Unches, and Tmura Lamed Dalet. All of those Gemaras, if you count it up, it's seven Gemaras with the same signon. Amayra asks an Amayra, he's quiet, nothing. Your mamish didn't hear one word. He says, "No, you're right. Hachi am Rav Sheshes." In all of the times, he was quiet, and he asked him nothing, and he said, "Yeah, you're right. It was Rav Sheshes Taka said something." And it's always Rav Sheshes. So why is it always Rav Sheshes? It's not always Rav Mori Brode Bashmul to Rava, but it's always Ishtik, and it's always Hachi Yom Rav Sheshes. So he says he thinks the Pshat is Pashit, and it's based on a Yerushalmi. We'll end with this. It's in Perek Aleph Halacha Beis Masechta Shabbos, where the Gemara said that Rav Ze'ira said, "Less anan srichin chshoshim l'shmoase de Rav Sheshes." We don't have to value the Shmuase, the halachas of Rav Sheshes, on the same level that we value the halachas of other Amayron, and the reason is the hugavra miftacha. because Rav Sheshes is a gavra miftacha. So what does that mean? So if you look at the Karben Eida, so the Karben Eida says like this. It means that Rav Sheshes, we know, was a sagi nar. And because he was a sagi nar, so he says one or two things. Either it could be he didn't have the ability to learn and to read, but rather everything that he was mekabel was based on tfiyas ayin the koil. And because everything that he was mekabel was based on tfiyas ayin the koil, so tfiyas ayin the koil, we know, was a big sugya, is not on the same level as other things, and as a result, you can't rely on his halachas on the same level. Inami, he says, that we know the Gemara says in Erev and Daf Yud Gimel that Rebbe said that the reason he reached the madrigas that he reached is because he saw a meir me'achayrai. And had it been on a higher level, he would have achieved even higher madrigas. Being that Rav Sheshes couldn't come suit to that, so therefore you don't have to be so chayish for Rav Sheshes. He says it's pashut, that's what's going on in these Gemaras. Right, Akasha was asked. And the Meira had one Eitzah. The Eitzah was Hachiyam Rav Sheshes. But Rav Ze'era said in Yerushalmi Shabbos Aleph Be'ez that you don't rely on Rav Sheshes 100%. So he was quiet. He says, tell me, you have nothing? He says, you know what? I have something. I have a Rav Sheshes. But a Rav Sheshes is not on the same level as Adam Amayram, which in and of itself is a Chiddush Niflam. Rav Sheshes is definitely one of the most often quoted Amayram in Shas. This is one of the nuggets that you get every time you go through one of these Mechkarim. But the bottom line is, Shtika L'Chachamim, that's the name of the Mechkar. How exactly do you find Shtika? And if Shtika is Kaidah, so just be Maida and just be Chayzer from the Halacha. Teretz is sometimes Shtika with Kaidah and the Kasha, but I'm still not being Chayzer from the Halacha. That's his thesis. And the reason you're not being Chayzer from the Halacha is because the Halacha is something that I have Mikabola. And like Rapapa said in Nozal Lamatesim Adalf, I'm going to make up a Braisa to ask an Abaya. I want to see if he's going to be Chayzer, because then I'll know if he had this been Mesoira or he made this up on his own. If he made it up on his own, meaning if this is his Chiddush, he'll be chayzer. If he has a b'mesayra, he won't be chayzer. I feel if an abraisa, even if kufta doesn't knock you out. So if one of the amiram ask a kasha and you don't have what to say, so it doesn't knock out the halacha. But at the same time, there was a shtika. There's a shtika because he taka didn't have what to say, and it was shtika kaida. So then just be chayzer. Then be hoyd of a leibush. What? Right? Right? What Rashi said in all these places, and say that because he had a b'mesayra, being that he had a b'mesayra, it wasn't something that he was able to be chayzer from.